You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
With that in mind, do you have your Bibles with you?
Yes.
I hope you do, and I hope you follow along. I don't know if you have your iPad or your smartphone or whatever you got, or an old paper Bible. Just get the Word, amen? And get the Word in you. Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what I think or you think. What matters is what God says. And so that's why we need to look into the Bible in context. Everybody say context. Well, that's important, because you hear all kinds of things out of context. Verses that are isolated. You know, you don't stand on one verse isolated. Stand on it in context of what it, who wrote it and who they write it to and what were they talking about. You can stand on a verse in context, amen. But I think too many times we're standing on verses out of context. I remember years ago, somebody used to talk about their memory, and they would quote the verse out of Proverbs, says, "The memory of the just is blessed." Well, actually, the context of that was that the wicked die, nobody remembers them. And when the righteous die, the just, everybody remembers them. Now, there's other scriptures stand on a good memory. That really wasn't what that scripture was talking about. It was talking about the memory of these people. I mean, you could stand on 2 Timothy 1:7 says, you know, the God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Amen. You can stand on John 14:26. The Holy Spirit brings everything to our remembrance, whatsoever the Lord spoke to. There's a lot of good scriptures to stand on for memory. For your memory, amen. But that one, as good as it sounded, it wasn't really the context of that scripture. Hallelujah. Everybody say context. Okay. Y'all tracking with me? You already said you love me, so tell your face. Amen. No, everybody's smiling, so. John 14 chapter. I want to minister, start a series today, and we'll see where we go with it, on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I think the Holy Spirit's been marginalized. I think the Holy Spirit's been minimized in many cases. And we need to talk much of the Holy Spirit, because it is by the power of the Holy Spirit we do what we do. And the Holy Spirit's the one that Jesus sent to help us while he's in heaven. And the Holy Spirit came on Jesus before he started his ministry. Think about it. I mean, it's when he came up out of that water, John baptized him, and the Spirit came down and rested upon him like a dove, the Bible says. And then he went into the wilderness as tempted of the devil, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. He overcame temptation with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God, which are two things we need to get a hold of, is the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I think we've kind of gone either or in some churches. And God bless churches. We're pro-church. I am not against churches. Don't ever walk out there and say, he's preaching against the Baptists or the Methodists or Pentecostal. No, Lord, no. Listen, these are brothers and sisters in Christ. We believe in Jesus. We believe he died for our sins. We believe he rose again. Are you with me? We believe he was God in the flesh. We believe he was born of a virgin. We all believe that.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, we might have some differences about living that life out, but I think we all agree there's only one way to heaven. Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
So we're pro-church. This is not a presidential campaign. If we disagree, we're not going to be blasting people's character and their integrity and their love and their compassion and their devotion. There are some wonderful people, devoted, passionate, love Jesus in a lot of churches today in this city meeting all around here. Do we have some differences? Sure, but we don't have those differences. Are you with me? We don't differ on who we are. We are Christians. We are believers, and we love each other. And we pray for churches, and we're for churches. We're going to host a pastor's breakfast here in a couple of weeks, and we meet periodically and pray with the pastors, and is it 2 weeks? 15th, I think. You know, so I'm pro-pastor and pro-churches. Hallelujah. I got good friends that are Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you out there? But we need I think sometimes we emphasize so much one or the other that it's actually one without the other. And that's wrong. I think if all we do is preach the word, stay with me, and I preach the word, but there's no power and there's no spirit, then it's accurate and it's true and it's dry. And I think we just dry up because it's dead and it's letter, and it's nothing wrong with it. It's concise and it's logical and it's out there, but there's no power behind it. But then again, if we sacrifice that and say, let's just have a Holy Ghost service. Now, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I like to say Holy Ghost, Holy sometimes, because if when you say Holy Ghost, people look around to see if somebody's there. I know Holy Spirit is the word. But if we're just about gifts, and if we're just about emotion, which thank God for emotion, if we're just about feeling, and if we're just about having a wild service and so on and so forth, then we've got the power, that's true, but we'll just blow up. Yeah. You know, we can have a wild service and Holy Ghost fall on the people, and the next day, you know, somebody asks how'd it go? Oh, it's awesome. Oh, we just all fell out. It was just wonderful. We were shouting and screaming, running around. What'd you learn? I don't know, but oh, it was amazing. It was just, are you with me? So it's almost like we have one or the other, and we need both. We need the dynamic of the Spirit, okay, which is the power of God. But we need the direction of the Word, which keeps us on the right path. Amen? And so the dynamic of the Spirit and the direction of the Word, and you put them both together, you won't dry up or blow up, you'll grow up. I like that. Hallelujah. And let's remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit wasn't some option in here. The Holy Spirit wasn't something that you could just add in the mix if you chose to. The Holy Spirit was commanded to us to get. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to enlighten us, to empower us. And wow, I'm saved, of course, by the blood of the Lord Jesus. I got that. I understand that. But I need the Holy Spirit. I need the leading of the Holy Spirit. How much in the book of Acts do you hear the Holy Spirit led them, the Spirit led him, and we, the Holy Spirit in us, we agreed. It says things like that. So the leader of the church is the Holy Spirit. The head of the church is Jesus. But the leader of the church is the Holy Spirit. Those impressions, those unctions, those leading, those pulls, those tugs in your life, that's the Holy Spirit pulling you, tugging you, leading you. Those scriptures jumping at you out of the pages, all of a sudden on fire, you've read them over and over and over, and all of a sudden, man, you get it. That's the Holy Spirit enlightening you. We need that. Ooh, hallelujah. Are you out there? So Jesus talked about in some very intimate scriptures here. Well, might say fireside chats, you know, when you sit around, you just fellowship and talk. And, oh, I've been meaning to get with you. I'm glad I had this time together to talk with you. That's what Jesus was doing in John 14, 15, and 16. Actually, Judas had left in the 13th chapter, so the betrayer, Judas the Iscariot, the one that betrayed Jesus, had left in the 13th chapter. Now he's got the 11, and he sits down with them in the latter part of the 13th, in the 14th, and the 15th, and the 16th. Very intimate. He's just talking to them, giving some last-minute instructions. And then the 17th chapter, he's talking to God. It's a prayer. The whole chapter is a prayer. And this is before he's going to be crucified, going to be tried and crucified. So it's this last really long conversation with them, you know. Last chance he has talked to them before he's crucified. And very personal, very intimate. In the 14th chapter, of course, that's the one we always quote, I am the way, the truth, the life, the sixth verse, and no man comes to the Father except by me. And he explains to them that, he is the perfect picture of God. Philip asked, show us the Father. He said, you seen me, you hadn't seen the Father? If you don't believe me, believe the works. You want a picture of God? Watch Jesus. You want to know what he looks like? Watch Jesus. You want to know what he does? Follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Walk with him in the streets of Capernaum, the shores of Galilee. Watch him stop storms. Watch him heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils. Watch him go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You want to know what God does? Watch Jesus. That's what God does. Jesus didn't give us one side of God. He didn't give us just a half God. He gave us the full picture. He fully declared God. He is the express image of God's person. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what the Bible says. He that seen me has seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. So he didn't give us good cop, bad cop. He didn't give us a good side of God. The Old Testament gives a bad side of God. Jesus gave us God. He showed us what God is about. Excuse me for getting stirred up. But Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is a man. Jesus was God. God became man. Great mystery. But God showed us, because we didn't have the picture, we didn't have it straight, we didn't get it clear. Everything we needed to know, we didn't know, and we didn't have access to it until he showed up. We had little stick figures, we had little pictures, we had little letters, we had little drawings, we had little paintings, but all of a sudden now, instead of a painting or a stick figure or little letters or little ideals or thoughts, God shows up. Wow. And we see him, we see God. He wasn't a Jeremiah, an Ezekiel, or a Daniel. He wasn't a Moses. No, 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 no. He was God in the flesh. He wasn't just another prophet. Wow. So now he's ministering to him. You know, he's stirring them and encouraging them. And he tells them in the 15th verse, 14th chapter. My goodness, it's all so good. I don't know where to start. I can start in Genesis 1. Just go there. 12th verse says this. Let's just start there. He said, most surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, I believe that. How about you? Didn't mean I got it working in my life. Doesn't mean I've seen all that stuff happening, but I do believe Jesus told the truth. And I do believe in Jesus. And so since I believe in Jesus, he didn't say to his disciples, if you believe, he said, he that believes, third person, anybody that believes, that's you, that's me, that's anybody. That's those then, that's those throughout the last 2,000 years of history. That's all the way down to today. That's people in Wills Point. That's people in Edgewood, Elmo, and Frog. He that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Wow. Because I go to my Father. Did you get that? There's a reason for that. We're doing what he's doing because he's not here, and he left us here to do what he did. We carry on the work that he did. Whatever he did, we do. He went to the Father, but we're still here. And the commission's still the same. Amen. The kingdom's still the same, and the gospel's still the same. It's the same gospel that we preach. It's the same Jesus that we preach, and it's the same Holy Spirit that we operate under, the power that we operate under. And he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amazing statement here, that although we're doing it, it's actually him doing it in us. Because we're doing it in his name, we're like representatives of him, which we are. We're ambassadors, which we are. And we don't go in our name, we go in his name. We go in the name of Jesus. That's another teaching altogether. Wow, the power of the name of Jesus. We pray in his name. We walk in his name. We do whatever we do in word and deed in his name. I don't pray in my name. I don't come in my name. I come in Jesus' name. Amen? And he says this. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. The Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. It glorifies God for my prayers to be answered. Every time somebody gets healed, that glorifies God. Every time somebody gets saved, that glorifies God. That's not another notch on your gun. Or to put in your list of the church that you got so many people here and got so many people there. No, it glorifies God. Glorifies God. Why are we excited about the food ministry? Because that glorifies God. Amen. Why are we excited about someone that gets saved? It glorifies the Lord. Somebody gets healed, it glorifies God. He says, that will I do if the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's talking about works now. He's the works that he did, and we have a whole four books on the works that he did, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We have all kinds of accounts of miracles and healings that took place and people that got forgiven and were set free and got their lives back together and delivered. Hallelujah. And that glorifies God. We don't need to minimalize or marginalize that, especially the miraculous. We need the miraculous more than ever. We need the supernatural more than ever. Because we have because we don't know how to say that word, okay? Because we've downplayed that many times in the Christian experience, and we've made Christian experience just the hereafter, which it is that, and that is the most important part of it, but it's not just that. God does care for your body. He does care for your whether you eat. He does care for your mental state. He does care for your emotions. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Okay? He does care for everything. Sure. If you want to put it on a scale, the greatest things to be saved, there is no comparison. I got that. I understand that. God made houses with air conditioners in them. If you didn't have the air conditioner, you'd be happy with the house, sure. But God didn't make houses without air conditioning in them. So what are we doing building houses without the air conditioning in them and telling people, well, as long as you got a house, that's the most important thing? Well, thank God you got a house. How could you compare salvation to anything else? It's the most important thing. I got that. Hallelujah. We preach Jesus and we preach eternal life and salvation. But he didn't build us a house without air conditioning. If you live in Texas, hallelujah for air conditioning. Are you out there? Okay. So he gave us salvation, but he didn't leave out healing. It's part of it. Miracles is part of it. And what are we doing trying to prioritize the things that God does and say, we're just going to do this part of what God does, or we're just going to preach this part of what Jesus preached, or we're just going to do this part of Jesus' work. Oh, we ought to do it all. Come on. Let's preach a full service, God. How about it? Amen. I think because we hadn't, we've got people running everywhere except God to get these needs met. Because we downplayed the supernatural, as it were, we've got people running to fortune tellers and psychics and everybody else when people ought to be running to God. Yeah. Amen. Not to tell your fortune. I'm not saying, don't twist what I'm saying. But I mean, we shouldn't. I think as Isaiah said, why do you go to wizards that peep? I don't know what that meant, but I guess wizards peep back then. Kind of weird stuff. But it does say that. It says, ought not a people go to their God? You know, we should go to God. Amen. So Jesus said, this stuff never stopped. We're carrying this thing on. This is what we do. We do what Jesus did. Amen. We follow Jesus, not just in word, but also in deed. We don't just repeat his messages, but we repeat his works. We as a church represent Jesus Christ. Churches represent Jesus Christ. We don't just represent the things he said. We should represent the things that he did. You know, Luke started the book of Acts and he said this. He said, things that Jesus both began to do and teach. That he began to do and teach things. We're continuing to do and teach things. What? The things he began to do and teach. Amen? Woo! Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Boy, that's good preaching. Amen. Glory. Didn't mean to make you sneeze, but God bless you. But he goes on, and he's talking about us doing what he did and asking in his name. Anything we ask in the name, he'll do it. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We ought to do this. We ought to continue what he did. We ought to continue what he said. We ought to pray like he said to pray. We ought to carry on the works that he carried on, even at haphazardly, maybe at, you know, like a child, sure, stumbling, that's fine. You know, maybe everybody I prayed for didn't get healed, but I guarantee everybody I didn't pray for didn't get healed. You'll have to chew on that one. Everybody I witnessed to didn't get saved, but I know everybody I didn't witness to didn't get saved. Unless somebody else witnessed to them. Amen? This is deep stuff. Y'all look like y'all really chewing on this. Maybe we stumble, but that's okay. Maybe we're not perfect, but that's okay. We ought to be doing what he did, and the more we do what he did, the better we get at it, for sure. And the good news is we're not even alone in doing it, and that's the point he's trying to make. We have his name. He's backing us up. Notice what it says in the 16th verse. Finally, get to the verse I want to get to. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? You know that word, it might say comforter in one of your translations. It might say helper. In another translation, this one says helper. It actually is the Greek word paraclete, which means one called alongside to help, one called alongside. It's interesting, another helper, the word another there really is a Greek word. It means another of the same kind, another not. There's two words in the Greek for another. One is another, you know, from another mother, you know. One is another of the same kind, you know. Paul talked about in Galatians where, you know, he says they come, anyone come preaching another gospel than what you've already received, let him be accursed. That Greek word is a different word. That's another different than the one I'm preaching from. But this Greek word is another of the same kind, just like me. So let me pull it all together. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you someone just like me to help you, a paraclete to help you, to comfort you, to stand along beside you. I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Now, wouldn't you like to have Jesus around with you everywhere you went? Now, I know spiritually he's there, but he's up in heaven. You know that? He's seated at the right hand of God. Bodily, he's there. We know that. Scripture teaches that. His job right now is to intercede for you and for me. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, the Bible says. He is our advocate in heaven. In fact, the word advocate, was it 1 John where it says, second chapter, it says, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Are you with me? So we can sin. I mean, we know that. And he tells us if we do, if we'll confess our sin, he says that in the ninth verse, then he's just and faithful to forgive our sins. That word advocate's the same word paraclete right here. So we have another, we have a helper, we have a comforter in heaven. Okay? But Jesus is not down here with us now. Stay with us. Yeah, I know you're thinking, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you to the ends of the earth. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. That's how he's with us. And so the comforter that's with us, the helper that's with us now is the Holy Spirit. At the time, this was, you know, the Gospels were being written, the Gospels were being enacted in reality when they were happening. Jesus was standing on the earth, walking around with those disciples, and he's telling them in this intimate time here, I'm not going to always be with you, but I'm going to send someone to take my place. I'm going to send somebody that's going to be with you, and he's going to be just like me, and he's going to help you, and he's going to comfort you. He's the Spirit of truth. I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send him to you. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. So the person of the Holy Spirit, not the power of the Holy Spirit, not just the force, not an it, but a he. The Spirit is here with us. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? What a privilege, what an honor. And what is he here to do? He's here to help us do what we could never do without him. But what we can do now that he's with us. And some of those things are some of those things Jesus did. And because I believe on Jesus, I'm going to do the things that he did. Hallelujah. Because whatever I ask in his name, he does. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If I ask anything in his name, he'll do it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he sent with to me to help me, to stand alongside me, just as if he were standing here. Wow. Just as if he were doing it. So when we're doing these things, we don't get credit. We don't get glory. We're not honoring ourselves. We're honoring God. And we're pointing to God. In fact, the Holy Spirit himself testifies of Jesus. Wow. But we're not without him. He's with us. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. You remember that song? Oh, come Holy Spirit. All that. See, this is a reality. This is something we need to tone up on, not tone down. Not minimize, but maximize. Hallelujah. Not marginalize, but talk much about, praise God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. So he says this. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind, just like me, to stand with you. I won't be me, but it'll be just like me being there with you. And he will do just what I've been doing, helping you and comforting you and strengthening you and empowering you and encouraging you. Oh, hallelujah. Interceding for you. Isn't that good? Making you stand when you want to fall. Hallelujah. Making you go another step when you want to give up and turn around and go back. I mean, he's going to be just like Jesus, saying, you can do it. We're going to do this together. I'm going to help you do it. You're not alone. You've never been alone a day in your life since the day you got saved. And I love the help part. You know, I love that. I heard Kenneth Hagin say this years ago. He was talking about the Holy Spirit's a helper. He helps you do things. He said it's like if I wanted to move a piano. Of course, these are easy to move now. They're plastic. But used to, pianos are a little heavier. And if I said, hey, some of you guys come up here and help me move this, you wouldn't say, you move it without me, and I'll stand back here and help. No, helping means you come up and help me move it. but I'm helping, I'm there doing it, and you're helping me do it. Are you with me? It's like that farmer pulled up to that gate, and he had that helper he just hired riding shotgun, and he said, get out and open that gate. And he said, I thought you hired me to help you. And he said, I did. Go open that gate. And he said, well, you go open it. If you can't, I'll help you. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit, now let's just go through this now. Let's connect the dots. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. He's not here to do it. He's here to help us do it. Are you with me? But if we don't start, if we don't act, if we don't do something, he's not going to help. He helps us do things. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit do it. Well, no, you got to do it. He's going to help you do it. What you couldn't lift, he's going to help you lift. What you couldn't handle, he's going to help you handle. But you got to make the commitment. You got to step out there. You got to say, yes, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we're going to do this. And as I step out there, the Holy Spirit will help us do it. Woo! That's good, isn't it? He's really real. He's really there. And he's there for a purpose. He's there to help us. Notice he goes on a little further. This is helping anybody. Amen. Speaking of help, praise God. Okay, so don't you get discouraged. Don't you give up. Don't you think you're alone. No, you need to tap into this. You need to tap into this power of the Holy Spirit. Not just the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is mentioned in Acts 2, where they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Acts 19. Acts 10, where they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Not salvation, never saved. But Jesus told them to wait. You wait. You wait till you've been endued with power from on high. He didn't say wait till you be saved. No, they believed in the resurrection. Are you kidding? They'd ate fish with him on the shore. They knew he'd risen from the dead. They believed in Jesus. They were already saved. Church wasn't born on Acts 2. Come on. Church wasn't birthed in Acts 2. They already met all the requirements to be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised from dead, you shall be saved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They believed in Jesus. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. They believed Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. They were born of God. Acts 2 was when they were empowered with the Holy Spirit, not when they were saved. Amen. He didn't say, wait till you get saved, wait till you become a Christian. He said, Terry, till you be endued with power. And then the Holy Spirit fell on them. They all spoke with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. So we need a closer walk with the Spirit, amen. We need to be empowered by the Spirit. Woo. Okay. 25th verse. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, the paraclete, the comforter, some translations say, same word. The other one, just like me, the helper. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for a good memory. And the Holy Spirit will help you remember what you heard Jesus say. Yeah. I love that. You ever had that happen? Yeah. You ever been witnessing somebody and all of a sudden that scripture just comes just and you think, man, where'd that come from? Well, it happens to me all the time. It happens to me every time I preach, for one thing. But I mean, those scriptures just start coming. How is that possible? Well, the Holy Spirit. He helps you remember the things that Jesus said. Now, obviously, you got to read the things Jesus said. You got to hear what Jesus said because you can't remember what you hadn't heard. No more you can come back from where you hadn't been. And wherever you go, there you are. Deep thoughts, aren't they? But if you will read the Bible and you will commit yourself to God and you will come to church and you will listen to the Word of God and you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, you know what happened? You'll remember what Jesus said. And it'll amaze you. I mean, scriptures you didn't even know you remembered. All of a sudden they'll come when you need them. Because the Holy Spirit's helping you minister. And what is he going to enlighten? He's going to enlighten the Word. That's what he enlightens. He's not against the Word. He's not opposite the Word. He's not contrary to the Word. The Holy Spirit's never going to tell you to do something that the Bible doesn't say is okay. That's not in tune with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word agree, the Bible says. They do agree. So he's going to illuminate the Word. Oh, wow. So if you love the Word, you ought to love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit loves the Word and brings the Word alive. and he helps you remember. I love it. And he teaches us. Oh, I love that. Hallelujah. So we need the great teacher, not the pastor. We do need pastors. We need teachers, apostles, prophets, and evangelists. We need the ministries. But all those ministries are anointed or empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So without the Holy Spirit, we're just having a discussion, I guess. I don't know, without any power. We're just dead words going to dead heads, and we're all walking out no better than we walked in. We want the anointing. We want the presence of God. We want, as it says of Peter when he preached his first message, it says their hearts were pricked. And they said, what must we do to be saved? Now, that wasn't just good preaching. That was the Holy Spirit anointing. Those two men that walked with Jesus after he rose from the dead on the road to Emmaus. And then he went into the house with them and ate bread. And when he broke the bread, he disappeared in the midst of them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke? That's the Holy Spirit, see? That's not just a man giving you good information. That's not somebody that's got good oratory skills. That's not somebody that's really slick. No, you don't need a used car salesman. You need someone anointed by the Spirit of God. And you need the Holy Spirit to move. Because he's the teacher. If you found out and got a hold of something I said, it might help you for a day or two. But if you get a hold of something God said, it'll change your life forever. Amen. If you hear from heaven, if you hear from God, and it lights up in your spirit, Amen. And it burns inside, explodes inside of you, and only the Holy Ghost can do that, see? Only you yielding to the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit moving on you can make that happen. That's what we need to yield to. That's what we need to believe for. That's what we need to lean heavy on. Is the Holy Spirit the helper? Holy Spirit, help me preach. Holy Spirit, help me teach. Holy Spirit, help me love. Holy Spirit, help me live. Holy Spirit, help me understand as I'm reading this. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, you sent the Holy Spirit to be a comfort and a helper to me, to stand beside me when you couldn't stand beside, to be with me when you couldn't be with me. Well, you're with me through him. So I'm listening, Holy Spirit. Teach me, lead me, and guide me. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Good stuff. Amen. Well, one more and I'll quit because it's already time to quit. Holy Spirit, let me have one more verse. Okay. Hey, 15:26 and we'll quit. This will be it. This helping you? I want to challenge you. I want to stir you. I want to make you hungry for God. I do. If you come to church, two things. Said it many, many times. Two things you need to come to church with. You need to come hungry. You need to come willing to change. Yeah. Now, if you'll come to church, every time you come to church, you come that way. Every time you listen to a message, you come that way. Every time you open your Bible, you come that way. Every time you go into prayer, you go that way. You come hungry. I need some food from God. I need God. I need God. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry. And I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change anything, God. Whatever I need change, let me change it. I don't want to keep doing what I'm doing. I keep getting what I get, and if I keep doing what I'm doing, I want to get something different, so I'm going to have to quit doing what I'm doing. I'll change whatever I got to change. So I'm hungry, God. Here I am hungry, and I'm willing to change. You'll never be the same. Do you know that? You'll never walk out of a service the same. You never walk away from your Bible the same. You never walk away from prayer the same. Amen? Okay, 15 chapter 26 verse again. These intimate talks he's having, and we'll just pick this up next week. We're not going to get through. 15:26, but when the helper comes, wow. When he comes, he's coming. He hadn't come yet. Jesus hadn't left yet. But Jesus, when he left, he sent the Holy Spirit. When the helper comes, there, same word, Paracletus, the comforter, the helper, the one called alongside to help. When he, not it, not a force, not a power, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Yeah. You want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Can you handle the truth?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. He doesn't play around. He just tells it like it is. Amen? And it's what we need to hear. Amen? So, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We talk about that, but we kind of minimalize, don't we? Kind of marginalize the Holy Spirit? We shouldn't. We really shouldn't do that because he's God too. He's God the Spirit, and he's just trying to help us. That's all he's trying to do. We're not listening. We need to listen, amen? We need to yield, And we need to flow with them. Hallelujah. We need to flow with the Spirit. So we're going to talk about that over the next few services. And hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Praise God. Stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen.